Thank you, God, that in stillness and in busyness, in all of life, we can know you to be God. But thanks for this moment of pause this morning to be still and to know that you are God. Amen. So we are beginning our Summer in the Psalms series. And so each week we're going to look at a new or a bunch of new psalms. We're going to sing psalms. We're going to speak psalms. We're going to pray psalms. We're going to see some images of psalms where hopefully this summer the psalms will come alive to us in new ways. My encouragement in each of our worship services this summer is that at the very beginning, you say, I'm going to pay attention to a verse from a psalm or a whole psalm that really jumps out at me. So then we're going to take that with us and let it travel with us into the week. So if something jumps out at you, let's say from Psalm 1, you take Psalm 1 home with you, and I would encourage you to read that psalm every single day. The unique part of the Psalms, or how I view the Psalms, is I don't want to be telling you what psalm you should be reading this week. Because the Psalms just have a multitude of emotion and expression. So if you're not in a place of praise this week, I don't actually want to be saying to you, go home and read that psalm. You might be in a place of lament. And this week you want to say that psalm of lament over and over again. You might be in a place where you get to be out in nature. And so you want to take with you the psalms of nature and reflection. But I do encourage each of us to have our ears and our minds and our souls open during these summer weeks of worship around the psalms. And then to take that home and to read a psalm. It is great to read a psalm, a same psalm, every day of the week. When you wake up, even when you go to bed, just to become familiar with the expression of the psalmist. Because the psalms are a very helpful resource from people's conversations with God and about the things that matter the most. And these psalms are like genuinely dialogical. They are discussion. They are a dialogue. And in the psalms, we can see both sides of the conversation of faith. And people, the psalmists, they move from profound praise, like incredible words of deep and beautiful praise, to the utterances of unspeakable anger and doubt and sorrow. We move from praise to lament, all through the words of the psalm. And these are words that where we meet God kind of in the depths, and we also meet God in the heights of the celebration. Psalms, they assure us, they affirm us, and they strengthen those of us who look to them. And both faith and unfaith are represented in the Psalms. I'm using lots of information today from a theologian, Walter Brueggemann. I just found his book to be really beautiful around the way that he looks at the Psalms. So much of what I'll speak today is from Walter Brueggemann. We're going to look today at some themes, general themes of the Psalms. I think it's a beautiful way to look at them. And we're going to look at Psalms as poems of orientation, poems of disorientation, and poems of new orientation. And so when we start with orientation, I like to think of orientation as a very, very full sponge. Your life is full and running over, and you can squish it, and there is still more in there. It's a full time of orientation towards God. It is it's a season in our life where there's gratitude for kind of the consistency, the constancy of blessing, where we offer joy and delight and goodness, and we praise the reliability of God, and we see the beauty of God's creation, and just the beauty of God's law. This is a season of orientation in the Psalms. But then the Psalms also represent the season of disorientation, where we might feel like or are experiencing the dryness of life, where nothing comes out of it. It's dry. The sponge can't really absorb much more, as it were. It's lost its function. And these are the seasons, the Psalms of disorientation, where life is just, it's hard. A surprise turn has taken, and we're overwhelmed. There is a season of anguish, of hurt. We might feel alienated from God. We might be suffering, or a death might have happened. And these psalms of disorientation, they help us to express some rage or some resentment or some self-pity at times, like, woe is me. I'm feeling sad for me right now. And even in the psalms, there are words of hatred, which are really, really hard to read, but they are expressed there. These are psalms of lament. I think of them as being very ragged and very painful in the expression of emotion. And then we have this new orientation. So we're just kind of going along. Life is tricky. Life is challenging. But then, all of a sudden, what has felt dry, there is this submersing, this newness of refreshment from God. And all of a sudden, there is new orientation in us. We see the goodness. We experience joy. There is fresh water in us. And so we have psalms of orientation, disorientation, and new orientation. And my hands are all wet. We're going to go back over here. And in this time of new orientation, there really is a surprise. Something has happened when we are just overwhelmed with new gifts from God. Just joy breaks through our despair. It's like sunlight enters in and fills us all. Where there once has been darkness, there is now light. Darkness is transformed by the light. These psalms of new orientation, they speak about new gifts from God. So these are brand new gifts. This is not going back to old gifts. These are new gifts for this season. And they affirm God who puts humankind in new situations. This winter we talked about the verses like, he will make a new way in the wilderness. And we talked about that we need to be in the wild to have this newness of God. But God shows up in our wilderness experiences. And these are psalms that go from pain to deep surprise in this goodness of God. And so in our lifetimes, we are going to find ourselves in varying conditions, in varying seasons in our relationships to God. And we can speak psalms of orientation. Remember this sponge, this orientation, this goodness, this fullness, this richness. We go to these psalms of orientation when we are confident in God and that we have no issues of faith. There's no doubts. We are happy. We have a deep trust in God's reliability and in God's goodness. And enjoy these seasons. These are why the psalms are full of these words. This is like a happy, a very, very blessed state. The psalmist is so grateful and is so confident in this abiding and reliable God. Life is not troubled. Life is not threatened. Life feels very well ordered. What we hope will happen, it happens. And in those days, we give lots of praise for this beautiful time of orientation. There's no fear. There's profound trust. And there's lots of gratitude. And so we speak psalms of orientation to praise and to thank God, to express our praise and to express our certainty. So Psalm 30, verses 6 and 7 said, when I felt secure, hear that. This psalmist tells us that. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. I will never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. This is a beautiful expression. This confidence that I will not be shaken. That is how you feel. And in Psalm 16, verses 6 to 8, it says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. I say every so often to Terry, in these seasons of orientation in our marriage where everything is great, we are having fun, we are confident in each other's love, I say in those moments, I wonder what it will be that will knock us off course. Nothing, I think, right now could ever knock us off course. And I say that because what a great season to celebrate, and we do, and I'm always surprised what kind of knocks us off course. But then we come back, and we rejoice in each other. But that, to me, is sort of how I live out, I think of living out, these seasons of orientation. From these places, it is not difficult to praise God. It is not difficult to give much gratitude. It is not at all hard to find the goodness of God everywhere. I remember when we were at Disneyland, we've only been twice, but I remember thinking, what is going on in this place that we are in? And I realized, like, there's never a piece of litter, and staff are never not smiling, and everything is bright and cheery. So in Disneyland, you're kind of taken to another world. Why not enjoy it when you're there? It's quite fun to receive that. But these are like the Psalms. That is what we're feeling like. And my suggestion to you is, when you are in these pleasant places, that when you feel like, I will not be shaken, journal. Write lists of gratitude. Start your day with gratitude. End your day with gratitude. Write about where and what are the situations where you just feel like God has given you these gifts of goodness. Let these become your testimony. Let these become the stories that you tell at your dinner table and with your family. These are the moments of, God is with us and this feels awesome. Let us give great, great praise. And I encourage us to do that, because then we will return to these words that we have written in times when we're disoriented. We'll return back and say, oh yes, I remember when I felt like I will not be shaken, and that will come again. But write down praise, say good words to one another, use this time where you are filled to speak encouragement and blessing to others. Give generously as you are able in these seasons. Celebrate, sing loud, have a dance party with your family. This is good. Psalm 145 is another psalm of orientation. And it's also just filled with joyous and grateful confidence in the Creator. So what is true at the beginning of this psalm is true all the way at the end. And again, it's this season of joy and delight. And in this season, we are encouraged to use all our senses to see God. When you're out for a walk, when you're eating a meal, when you're with a friend, when you're sitting quietly, we're just invited to use all our senses to see the goodness of God in our lives, in the lives of others. And Psalms always welcome us to go to nature, to see the goodness of God in nature. So Psalm 145 says, I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. These are all expressions of unwavering faithfulness. And so, if you are in a season of orientation, if you align with these psalms of orientation, my hope is that one of these verses or one of these psalms jumped up in you, and this week you will lean into being a person of praise and delight and engagement with God in that way. That you will go and name the promises of God that you see in your life. I hope that you are in a season where you can use these psalms of orientation. But then, as most of us have experienced in life, life shifts. And we can move out of this settled, full life sponge situation, as it were. We move out of this settled orientation into a season of disorientation. So a changed circumstance, either very abrupt or slow, happens in our lives. A dismantling of the old, safe confidence in God something happens that this shifts. Our knees are not so strong. We have a rush of negativities or rage or shame or guilt or isolation or despair or hatred or hostility. These seasons come. And in these seasons, we find companionship in the Psalms of disorientation, in these words of complaint and of lament. These Psalms of disorientation, they are painful Psalms. They are anguished articulation of being dislocated from God. These words talk about disorientation. These are very personal and intimate words. These are not broad themes. This is, oh, this has happened to me, or, oh, this is my experience of right now. They are personal words. It kind of seems like a personal end of the world. How could this have happened? What am I going to do now? Things have shifted far too far. What is going to happen? But these Psalms of disorientation, they show us that we are allowed to, that we are invited to acknowledge negativity before God, that doing this is not being unfaithful. People my age and a little bit older, we might have been taught that we're kind of not supposed to do this. It's always supposed to find the praise or find the goodness in it. But if that is all that we offer to God, it feels to me like we're just hiding a piece of ourselves from the God that already sees that. So I strongly believe, and Scripture affirms, that we're not being unfaithful to God when we express our lament and our anger, our despair. It's like there's nothing out of bounds for our engagement with God. God is like, bring it to me. These Psalms show us that everything belongs in our conversations with God. We are allowed to enter in from the heart. And if we think about it in a different way, that if we were to withhold parts of our life from conversation with God, it would in fact be saying, God, I don't want you to come into this area. Or, I think, God, you abandoned me when this has happened. It would be pushing God out, when actually in these moments, we want to be able to bring all, everything before our very sovereign and our very loving God. These Psalms of disorientation, they actually tell us that we have deep faith in God, this God who is attentive to our darknesses and our weakness and our displacement from life. These Psalms address God as God who is well acquainted with sorrows and with grief. Life has shifted. Life is now processing this pathway through the darkness. These Psalms are not very polite. There's not a lot of wordsmithing going on to make them feel kind of civil and appropriate. These Psalms are raw and they're ragged, and reality is really expressed to God. We always want to remember this. This is not us writing down our anger, getting it all out. This is saying, God, I invite you into, be present with me when I express these emotions. They just express the season, the experiencing that we're facing. I think that these Psalms of disorientation, they really relieve us from this confusion about whether or not we should or should not express our deepest emotions, our deepest experience that we find ourselves in. There's kind of like no limit to the words of the psalmist in these psalms, but it's almost like the psalmists are at their limit. They've reached their limit, and now without limit, they bring their words to God. The psalmists, they're committed to saying what they want to God, what they feel like their heart needs to say to God. And this God who we talk about, who God comes in the form of Jesus to be amongst us, it's this God that they're praying to that understands our human experiences, that knows, that has been in these situations, has felt these emotions. So in these Psalms of disorientation, there is a plea. There is a complaint. There is petition. The voice is very, very desperate. And the cry is, God, would you do something? Would you please do something? because I know you to be God. I think it's really important that we know that even though life has gone from orientation to disorientation, the psalmist is clear that they want to give this expression to God. That is where the psalmist wants to go to. And so it's really important that we can do this. Psalm 88 is considered the saddest psalm in all of Scripture, because nowhere in Psalm 88 does it shift. It is just sad from the beginning to the end. God's answer doesn't come in the psalm. I think of this psalm as being like the psalm of the darkest night of the soul. It is just a dark, dark psalm. And if you have ever experienced deep anguish, you actually may have found comfort in the words from Psalm 88. It just allows us to know, I'm actually not alone in this deep feeling of darkness that I'm experiencing. Someone else has experienced this. Someone else has experienced this, and God saw them, and God allowed for these words to be recorded in His holy word. These psalms, these words are known. This psalm doesn't bring comfort to our aching hearts. It just brings companionship if we let it. And I'm just going to read a few verses from Psalm 88, where the psalmist just says, "But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you." This next question is huge. "Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth, I have suffered and been close to death. I have borne your terrors and am in despair. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. Darkness is my closest friend." It's so sad. And yet they're posing this psalm to God. And as they say, "Darkness is my closest friend," they're praying to God of light, whose light dispels all darkness. In Psalm 35, we hear the psalmist's complaint and frustration and even hatred towards another. Psalm 35 says, "Lord, you have seen this. Do not be silent. Do not be far away from me, Lord. Awake and rise to my defense. Contend for me, my Lord and my God." I mean, this psalmist is saying, "God, be on my side. Awaken. Pick me. Be on my team. Do what I want you to do. Vindicate me in your righteousness, Lord my God, and do not let them gloat over me. Do not let them think, aha, just what we wanted, or say, we have swallowed him up." This is a psalm of disorientation, saying, "God, come and be on my side." It is raw, it is real, and it is what the psalmist is going through in that moment. And so I wonder, what situations of life have caused you to express raw and ragged emotions to God? What are those situations of your life? What was that experience like for you? How do you picture God when you are expressing depths of your soul? I ask that question because if we have a picture of God when we're expressing our rawness, our depth, if we have this picture kind of God leaning back saying, you know, "I don't want those words," or of God kind of going like, "Nah, can't hear you, don't want to hear you," it doesn't help us, because we're not, what we want to have this posture of God leaning into us and receiving these words and caring for us gently, of being present to us in this time of disorientation. Have you ever wondered if you are allowed to express your hurts or your anger or your confusion to God? And if you have, I encourage you to go back to the Psalms to find these words to say, "This is allowed. God, you are so good and gracious and such a companion to me that I can bring all of this to you." I had a deep week of disorientation. My world shifted last Thursday when the death of my closest childhood friend came very, very unexpectedly. And I went from being, her name is Sue, I went from having conversations with Sue 4 days before that were just full of laughter and joy and the telling of life, to hearing of her death And I went from this to this in a blink. In a blink. And I have stayed like this, but I've also been able to do this. Because this is my life with Sue. It was rich with memory and joy and years since grade two. And so this week, this kind of feels like how it's been this and this. And the week just kind of continued with lots of these kind of phone calls of sadness in people's worlds, of hard, hard things. And so we go back and forth, back and forth. And what this back and forth is called through Walter Brueggemann, it is this moving from disorientation to new orientation. So in Psalms, we see that there is a shift from despair. There is a movement to praise. It's a really surprising change, because if you're leaning into these Psalms of disorientation, all of a sudden, there's a word of praise there. This isn't rocket science, but it was probably only about 10 years ago when I just at this moment I thought, oh, the psalmist didn't write these psalms in one sitting. This kind of wasn't like a haiku class in grade 5 where you've got 20 minutes to come up with something. Psalmists would have gone back to these psalms. And so when we see this switch, this move to praise, and we recognize that things are different, but it didn't happen in that hour sitting by the river. This was probably over many, many years or days. Things are different. Something has changed. And we cannot know whether it changed, like it was a single circumstance that changed, or if it was an attitude that changed, or a little bit of both, an attitude and a circumstance. But now the speaker speaks very, very differently. This sense of urgency and desperation is replaced by joy, and by gratitude, and by well-being. So it's a shift from pleading with God, to praise. Scripture uses the phrase, the pit, often. So it's a departure from the pit of chaos, this pit that we thought we might never escape, that this can never change. It's a departure from what is inexplainable to us. We are in a situation where we can't believe it, and all of a sudden, God intervenes in a way that we know it to be God. We're like, wow, God, you came. This is God. It's a new light. It's delight. It's amazement. It's wonder. It's awe. It's gratitude. It's thanksgiving. Like, this is now bursting. Your sponge is now full again with life and praise. And it's these themes are themes of rescue or of deliverance or healing and of liberation. Something has shifted. God is known. God is very, very visible again, or very present again. And there is just this incredible renewed hope where everything previously felt lost. And so in Psalm 13, which is a psalm of lament, all of a sudden there is a shift between verses 4 and 5. So I'm going to read this psalm, and you'll hear that shift. You can even clap if you want, say, there's the shift. It starts with deep disorientation. How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust. That's a shift. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. So, if we think that this psalm was written in half an hour or in one journal entry, I think what we're not doing is giving credit to all the emotions that we feel. And also, I don't think we're giving credit to the vastness of God. If I am praising a God that I have to go from, you know, will you forget me forever, and then, oh, but I trust in you, I just think that's not a real beautiful invitation from God. It's too quick. But what this psalm introduces us to do is to ask the question, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? I feel so forgotten. And all those words of lament, but then eyes are open heart changes, circumstances changes, and then quickly we say again, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, because salvation has come in a season of disorientation. In Psalm 22, there's also a big shift from, why have you forsaken me? It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. And then the shift. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. These shifts are what Walter Brueggemann calls psalms of new orientation. These psalms speak from the movement from disorientation to new orientation. They speak of this surprising gift of new life just when none was expected. It's a funny thing because we get to decide when the moments of new orientation are. But this week, in my deep, deep grief of Sue being gone forever, it's the permanency of death this week that I have struggled with so much. But we have a raspberry bush in our backyard. And for the first four mornings, I went out and there was one raspberry. And it just kind of seemed like, meh, one raspberry, but I'll eat it. It was a time of remembering Sue. And then the fifth morning, I went out and there was like 20 raspberries. And it was my shift. I'm not done being in disorientation. But this new orientation, it has already begun, where I can see the abundance of God and raspberries still taste sweet and things will grow and new life will come. And so already I see this shift into being able to celebrate God's goodness in something that I just did not want. We don't know how this happens. I honestly do not know why one raspberry represented sadness and 20 raspberries represented God's goodness. I don't know why, but I think that's a goodness of God in how he created us, that he allows our minds to go from lament to praise. He allows our minds to be in darkness and then to see light, light in just a little bit of light, or light in big, big, big ways. So these psalms, these psalmists, they're saying to God, we give you praise, because we believe that you changed our darkness into light, that you intervened. And now new things seem possible where they really seemed impossible. And so I wonder, are you able to recall such a shift like this in your life, from disorientation to new orientation? Might be in a restored relationship. It might be in an unexpected provision. It might be in a physical or an emotional healing. It could sort of be like a lost and found experience. Only you can know where you have shifted from disorientation to new orientation. And if you have experienced such situations as this, you know that they can happen in a split second, or this can grow over days and years. Sometimes it takes us years to find the new orientation. I also encourage you to journal such experiences as this, because these are ones that we want to go back to. These become the testimonies of life's journey. Because our kids are a little bit older, or they are all adults, both adults now, we have these like new orientation. We don't name it that, but I think we have like a treasure box in each of us of when we had new orientation. And we remember. We talk about those. Remember when we were so sad about this and all of a sudden God did this? Or do you remember when this felt so deeply hard and then we had a sign from God? Or someone showed up and was very, very generous to us? Record those and remember those and speak about those, because those are the testimonies, these new orientation, where we see God's faithfulness in our lives and again we return to them when we feel like a dried out sponge. Psalm 66, it shows us again this movement from disorientation to new orientation. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. It's a beautiful one. I would pray it this week. You kept my feet from slipping, God. I thought I might go under with Sue's death, but you kept my feet from slipping into deep, deep, deep darkness. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid out from prison. You let people ride over our heads, and we went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. So this has disorientation to new orientation. One of the stories in the Gospel of Luke has caught my attention from since I was a youth. And I just see it's like almost in, I don't know how long the time was, but I think it was being like 15 minutes. You go from orientation to disorientation to new orientation. And it's this story of Jesus, and a crowd had gathered around to welcome him. And I think of this as orientation. They're so excited to be around Jesus. What is he going to do today? They had great expectations. And then a man named Jairus, who was a leader, he came and he fell down at Jesus' feet and he pleaded with him to come to his house because his daughter, a girl who was about 12 years old, was dying. So the crowd is waiting for Jesus, orientation. Jairus is an experience of disorientation. His daughter is dying. And then Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house. This is new orientation for Jairus because Jairus believes if Jesus comes to my house, my daughter's going to be healed. And then a woman who has been bleeding for many, many years, she touches Jesus' robe. And all of a sudden, Jesus stops following Jairus to his house and he starts paying attention to this woman. And this woman has new orientation because Jesus is paying attention to her, but Jairus has disorientation because Jesus is supposed to be going to my house, and I think the crowds are still saying, well, what about us? Like, what about us? And so this woman is healed, but she thought she did it in secret, so she's so happy and delighted that she is healed. But now all of a sudden Jesus said, you know, who touched me? And so this becomes a little bit disorienting because she is a woman and she is bleeding. And she has touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and now he's saying, who touched me? And I think this would be deep disorientation. But then Jesus doesn't ream her out. He's not frustrated with her. He says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And her life has new orientation, healing and peace and welcome. But then disorientation, because Jairus' servants come ringing out, and they say, your daughter is dead. Can you imagine thinking, Jesus, you were on the way to my house. You were going to heal my daughter. Did you forget about me? But then Jesus says to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed. And in fact, she is. Jesus goes to his house. He heals this girl. And the scripture says that her parents were astonished. But he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. But the part is that her parents were astonished. There was new orientation from this deep disorientation that Jesus has been to them, who Jesus said he would be, healer, companion, friend. So my encouragement this morning to you is, are you in a season of orientation? Use this time to give praise and delight. Are you in a season of disorientation? Use this time to tell God what you're feeling, to put your words in, to ask for God what you would so deeply desire? Or are you in new orientation? Celebrate this transformation of God's goodness to the new. And I encourage us to use the Psalms as ways of expressing these words. Let's pray as Chris and Amanda come up. God, thank you that our lives are not stagnant. Thank you, God, that you created life in richness and fullness. God, thank you that you created our bodies to hold just so many different emotions. And God, thank you that in your word, we find words of great delight. We find words of pleading and rawness. And we find words of celebration of God making all things new in our lives. May we be people of the Psalms this week. May we find words from you to express what season we are in. And in all things, may we be people of praise that you are near and that within you there is new orientation and that we are invited to be still and to know that you are God. Amen.